When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Thank you, Daryl, for those very appropriate songs that you selected for us. As I said in my opening comments during the call to worship, that because of what we have been through for the last 16 days, I wanted to talk about some things related to the help that God has provided for us, the gratitude and praise that we should have in our hearts for that, and to understand our need for continued reliance on God. And so that's what I would like to do this morning. This is not going to be a very long sermon, and primarily I'm going to let the Word of God teach us. Of course, I will have comments as we go through. And because of that, I'm going to just be reading several passages in quick succession. Some I will have on the overhead. But I want us to think right now about the fact that our help comes from God Almighty. Psalm 33:20 says, "Our soul has waited for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." God is our help and our shield. He protects us. Psalm 62:8, "Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." So I ask the question, how did God help us through the storm? And how has He helped us since the storm? Well, number one, we are all well and accounted for. We could have easily been killed in that storm. Many were. There are people today who are still mourning the loss of loved ones lost in that storm. And we understand the frailty of life. We understand how short life is and how frail it is. James chapter 4, verse 14 says that we are but a vapor that appears for a short time and then vanishes away. And intellectually, we all know that. But there are things in our lives that from time to time bring us face to face with that reality. And we've seen it over the past 16 days. We saw it during the storm, and when we heard about all the people and all the tragedy and all the loss. But God has helped us through this storm in that all of our number, not only did none of us get killed, none of us even got injured. Yes, we suffered some property loss. All those things can be replaced easy enough. Large trees fell on some of our houses, some of our members' houses, large branches from trees. But we also had members who had huge trees fall parallel to their house, that if those trees had fallen 10 or 12 feet more to the left or to the right, would have fallen right on their bedroom. Psalm 121, verses 1 through 3 says, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. On the night of September 26th and into the early morning hours of September 27th, God was not asleep. He was watching over each one of us. God never sleeps. He never slumbers. He always knows what's going on in every moment of time, everywhere. He was not asleep. And He is greater than the storm. We saw the mighty power and the force of that storm. But God is greater than the storm. We're all very familiar with the story of Jesus being in a boat on the Garden of Gethsemane. I just got through partaking the Lord's Supper. On the Sea of Galilee, they were in a boat, and Jesus was in the back of the boat asleep, and a storm came up. And the boat was starting to sink, and His disciples were very concerned. And they woke Jesus up. And in verse 39, it says, Jesus rebuked the wind, and He said to the sea, "Hush! Be still." And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. God is more powerful than any storm we will ever go through. So how did God help us? He brought us all through the storm alive and well. Also, God helped us through that storm and after the storm, and continues to help us after the storm, in that He is providing for us through the various governmental agencies that are helping. We should be thankful that we live in a country where our government comes to our aid. There are people who live in countries where the government skims all the money off the top and puts it in their pocket, and when natural disasters occur, the people get nothing. Now, we can talk about corruption in government and all those kinds of things, and certainly it exists. It exists in every government. But God ordained governments. In Romans 13:1, it says, "Every person is to be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God." God ordains governments. And so we can be thankful that we live in a country where the government is helping us. God is using the government He has ordained to help us. That's just one of the many ways in which God is helping us. God has provided through saints that live in other places. God is using them to provide for us. Ray just mentioned that the church has received 3 checks that we did not expect from sister churches across the country. We have received so much help from brethren all over. We've received 6 loads of supplies that have been delivered to our house and is currently in our basement. I have received over 50. I think it's close to 55 now. I've been contacted by 55 different churches and or individuals asking how they could help. That does not include the ones who have contacted Philip. And there's some overlap there, of course. Obviously, there will be some that contacted Philip and me. But there have been some who've contacted Philip who didn't contact me, and vice versa. And I know that many of you have been contacted by churches and individuals saying, "How can we help y'all?" So this is another way that God is providing for us. It's another way that God is helping us, and it follows the biblical pattern. In Acts chapter 11, verse 27, it says, "Now at this time some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and began to indicate by the Spirit that there would certainly be a great famine over all the world. And this took place in the reign of Claudius. And in the proportion that any of the disciples had means, each of them determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren living in Judea. And this they did, sending it in charge of Barnabas and Saul to the elders." Now, today we could say that the saints determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren living in Asheville or living in Western North Carolina. This is the biblical pattern. God has provided for us. Every good gift comes from God, whether it comes through the government, comes through the brothers and sisters in Christ or individuals or communities helping it. Every gift comes from God. And this is a way that God has provided for us. And while I'm on this topic, I want to encourage you, please take advantage of the provisions that God has provided. Many of you have already been to our house to avail yourself of these gifts. Our whole basement, our garage, two-car garage, and the music room in our basement are crammed full of supplies that brethren have sent us. Non-perishable food, paper goods, paper plates, cleaning supplies, and the list goes on and on and on. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, and some of you have even said this to me, and I understand the mindset because I have it myself. I could say it's a mountain mindset, but it's true everywhere you go. Most people want to be independent, and they want to provide for themselves and for their families. And they feel like, I would rather not take that. I would rather leave that for someone else who needs it more than I do. I get that, and I understand it. But God has provided these things for us, for you. And we don't want to dishonor God by not accepting the gift that He's provided. We don't want to dishonor these good brothers and sisters in Christ who have sent these things to us because it's God's will that they do so. So please come to our house, and this will offset your future, some of your future grocery bills going forward. That there are things there that you can take from our basement and you won't have to buy them at the grocery store. So please, if you have the ability to come, come. If you don't have the ability and you need things delivered to you, and there have been many deliveries made, we will bring them to you. But please avail yourself of it. And there's one other thing. You'll help Elaine and me out by getting that stuff out of our basement. We'd like to have our garage back and our basement back someday. Hard times will come. Hard times do come. But when they come, we can count on God to carry us through. Now, I'm not suggesting, nor does the Scripture suggest, that there will never be a time when we will face a danger, a physical danger, that we may not necessarily be spared. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. There are times when a child of God may suffer physical harm. They may even die. We all know of good Christians who've died in an automobile accident or in a plane crash, accident on the job, drown, whatever. We all know of those situations. And the book of Ecclesiastes certainly teaches us that time and chance happens to everyone. And so, while we know that God is ever present, we know that He loves us and cares for us and is completely aware of everything that's going on in every moment of our lives. It is perplexing to us why sometimes God will spare us in a certain situation, and in another situation, He will allow one of His children to perish in an automobile accident, for example. And we can't always know or understand the why of it. But God is sovereign. He is God. And He allows things to happen. Sometimes He causes things to happen. And it's impossible for us to know or understand why He allows or why He causes things to happen. But this we can know. Romans 8:38 says, "For I'm sure that neither death," there's death, "I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come." If we continue to live on earth, we will continue to face hardships. There will be storms of life. This is not the last one. There are more storms coming. But the Apostle Paul says through the Holy Spirit that he's sure that not even things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing, any other created thing, will be able to separate us from the love of God, from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Whatever storm comes our way, God is right there in the middle of that storm with us. And if He were to choose for some reason to allow us to perish in that storm, we go on to be with the Lord. The loss will be for our loved ones who are left behind. The loss will not be ours. The bottom line is that this world is not our home. And if we are expecting utopia in this world, we will be sorely disappointed because it does not exist. All of this, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and following, teach us clearly, all of this is going to be destroyed someday. It will not continue to exist. And if we are trusting in this, we will be destroyed along with it. It will be physically destroyed, and we will be eternally, spiritually destroyed if we trust in this. But we don't trust in this because we're children of God. We trust in something higher, something greater, something better. We have an anticipation of a world where there won't be storms, as Les mentioned in his comments earlier. But if we're trusting in God, we will not be disappointed. Secondly, I want to talk about how that we need to have hearts that are full of gratitude and praise. Someone might say, well, how can I be feeling gratitude? How can I be feeling the inclination to praise God after all that we've been through? Well, let's go back to the point we made earlier. It could have been much worse. We could have lost our lives, or we could have lost a loved one. I expect that most all of us have done this already. I'm confident that you have. But if you haven't, you need to get down on your knees and you need to thank God Almighty that you're here today, that you didn't lose your life, that your loved one didn't lose their life, you weren't injured. Yeah, the holes in the roof can be patched, the automobiles can be replaced, the yard work can be fixed, but we're all here, we're all alive, and we need to be grateful to God for that. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Count it all joy when you face various trials. Almost seems an oxymoron. It almost seems like that, you know, count all joy when you're facing hardships and trials. But we, as Christians, understand that the trial of the moment doesn't define our whole lives. Our lives and what our lives mean and what we're striving for in our lives, which is a home with heaven and with God, there's where the joy is. We know that we can have joy even in hardship, even when the trials come. And we're going to suffer various trials. And they need to produce steadfastness and perfection and completeness in our lives. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, it's hard not to be anxious in the moment, isn't it? The rain's coming down like cats and dogs. The wind is blowing, the trees are swaying, and you're looking out your window and you're thinking, "Man, I hope that big oak tree doesn't hit the house. I think it's going to come down." It's hard not to be anxious in the moment. And yet, in the moment, we're to be prayerful, seeking God, asking Him for what we need in the moment. And with that should come a peace that can only come from God our Father in heaven. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Again, sometimes it's hard to wrap our mind around this, to think, how can I be giving thanks in all circumstances? In every circumstance, how can I do that? If I had been killed in this storm, if I had died in this storm, I know my wife would have been heartbroken and my children would have been heartbroken. But she could, in that particular circumstance, she could say to God, "Dear God, I am thankful to you, and I praise you, and I have gratitude in my heart toward you that my husband was a Christian, that you gave him time and opportunity to mend his relationship with you through Christ Jesus. I'm thankful for that." You see how that works? Even when things are bad, we can find things to be thankful for. And ultimately, that's really all that matters, is having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and being able to go to our eternal home to live with Him forever. That's the ultimate goal. God's people will express gratitude and praise during the good times and the bad times. Lastly, I want to talk a little bit about our continued reliance on God. This particular storm, the Hurricane Helene, is behind us, and we're still dealing with some of the aftermath, and we will, as Western North Carolina, East Tennessee, Northern Georgia, upstate South Carolina, we will be dealing with this for years to come. But the storm itself is behind us. However, there will be future storms. And even when we don't have natural disasters like what we've just experienced, just daily living is hard sometimes. It's tough. Psalm 23:4 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." There is a sense, figuratively, that when we went through that storm, we walked through the valley of the shadow of death. Figuratively speaking, we did. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 says, Suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. When we face the storms of life, when we face these kinds of hardships, it's going to have an effect on us one way or the other. It's going to cause us to be fearful. It's going to cause us to be bitter. It's going to cause us to be angry. Or it's going to have a positive effect. It's going to bring out in us and produce in us endurance, character, and hope. As Christians, we should want these attributes to be a part of who we are. We should want to have endurance because we're running a race. The Apostle Paul talked about that we're running a race. We're on a straight and narrow path, and we have to get to the end of it. So we need endurance. We need character. We need hope. So the storm's going to produce one of those two things in us. So do we want it to produce the bitterness and the anger and the fear, or do we want it to produce endurance and character and hope? It's been said that storms like this, these kinds of natural disasters, will bring out the best or the worst in people. And we've seen it. We've seen looting and those kinds of things. But for the most part, we've seen positive things, positive conduct from people. And we need to allow it to bring out the best in us. Second Corinthians 1, 3 through 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Isn't that beautiful? We're afflicted. God comforts us. And we take that comfort that God has given us, and we turn around and we use that comfort that we've received to help others and to comfort others in their affliction. We, as a local church of God's people, and Western North Carolina, as a community, have comforted each other through this storm. members of this church whose physical circumstances and schedules would allow, and I understand that some people's physical circumstances won't allow it and their schedules wouldn't allow it, but for those whose physical circumstances and schedules would allow it, they have done the following. They have called on and or physically checked on each other. They have delivered water, food, and supplies to each other. They have provided help with downed trees, limbs on people's homes, yard work, etc. They have opened their homes to provide hot meals for those who maybe did not have the ability to cook in their own homes. They did, so they invited folks into their home to feed them a hot meal. Once the power was restored in certain people's homes, they opened their homes to others to come and wash dishes, wash clothes, take showers, fill up their water jugs. They came and helped unload trucks and trailers that were coming from Alabama and South Carolina and the East Coast of North Carolina, bringing supplies. They came and helped unload those vehicles. Philip, even though he was not able to be here physically, was a great help to this church in ways that you wouldn't necessarily be able to see. He was able to communicate to the church via email, which I was not able to do. I just got my email back a couple of days ago. And so he and I were talking, and he was communicating to the brethren via email, which I was not able to do. I used him as a sounding board every day. And when I felt at times overwhelmed, he was there to talk to and to give me advice and to encourage me. So don't think that because he wasn't here, he wasn't involved. He was, and praying constantly for us. This church family has pulled together to help each other. And that's what families do, isn't it? Families take care of each other first, but then they look outside the family and they help others. I know of many of you who have helped neighbors, co-workers, total strangers, people that you didn't know. And Philip and I want to thank each one of you for all the things that you've done, regardless of whether it was a big thing that you did or just a small thing that you did. We want to thank you for that. And the work's not over. There's much more to do, but we're confident that we will work together and do what we need to do and what God would want us to do. I want to leave you with this one passage, and then Daryl can come and lead us in the closing song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. It makes no difference what happens, what we have to endure in this life. Our Father, our God, our Creator, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Advocate, our Mediator, will always be there. And the Word that has been supplied to us by the Holy Spirit will always be there for us. We are never alone. in the storm.